Today's episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is Gateway's Got It. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome to episode 255 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. We are in the Coppola studios, in our home Coppola studios, without any Coppola, because we're sick. We're sick. We are not together. We did not make out, just for the record, in case there's any speculation out there. But this virus or whatever, all the viruses that are sweeping through our area, our country, whatever, it got me. It got me and it got you too, Jules.
Emily, like I had already essentially been gotten. Like I knew it was coming for me, my family, whatever. But I was really hoping we could preserve you. Like that was the whole goal. Like
preserve me at all costs.
Yes. Like preserve you. Try to get you to Mexico.
I know.
Don't get sick. That's why I didn't kiss you as bad as I wanted to last week.
So awkward. Yeah. So you started feeling, Saturday was you?
Yeah. Saturday was a really bad day. I got a fever for like a little while. It was like, I felt like I should have a fever and didn't. And then eventually I did. And it was like 101, like nothing too crazy. Not like what my kids had when theirs got way up high to like 106 last week. And then it went back down, you know, but I was mostly just in bed and feeling terrible, like all of Saturday. And then yesterday I started feeling a little better. I was functioning and, you know, felt good enough to have Kelly go play hockey for 5 hours. And then I did all the things. So so it was good. And then today even better. But it's like our neighborhood, like, you know, so many parents that I know are sick. There's probably like maybe 5 or 6 kids in Anna's class today, I think, out of like 19 or something, because I'm on this text string where all the kids are just falling one by one by one with fevers. Seems like it's starting with cough for everybody and then eventually hitting fever. And then you've got like cold symptoms and it's just crazy. I know we were looking earlier at something called like the quad virus or something like that is what they're saying now, because there's like essentially 4 different things that are going around: quademic, flu, COVID, RSV, and norovirus, all converging on this. So I don't know. I mean, I guess we're not all like, at least we're not all hiding in our closets and not talking to each other and seeing each other. Isn't this better than that?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, we, you know, listen, we've had flu season for however long, whatever. But yeah, it's just, I think it's like, it's not a matter of if, it's when. And so for me, getting on a plane to go to Mexico on Tuesday, I'm like, the fact that I came down with it overnight on Saturday, I'm secretly grateful for, because it's like, okay, at least I was able to get on top of it. there's a business here in Fort Worth that they will come to you 7 days a week and shoot you up and give you some drugs. And I took full advantage of that. As soon as I started not feeling good, I texted a friend who works for said company. And I'm like, I am dying and I need to get on a plane Tuesday morning. Please give me something. And so,
Lord, give me strength.
Yes, strength, drugs, all the things. And so I got a steroid shot in my girlfriend's driveway, whipped up, pulled into her driveway, hiked down my pants and told her to shoot away, and then got a Z-Pack and started taking that. And We had a huge dinner, not a huge dinner. We had a family dinner last night at our house where my mother-in-law and I cooked authentic Lebanese food, homemade Lebanese food, because she's half Lebanese for Mike's birthday. So I got that done yesterday, and I love a glass of wine, but I was like, I can't. The nurse was like, no, you cannot. No alcohol. It counteracts with the Z-Pack. And I'm like, say no more. I will do whatever. I've been drinking oil of oregano, like this oil that tastes just disgusting. But I'm like, I don't care. I'll do anything.
So what's that all about?
I don't know. Mike found it and he was like, take this. And I was like, oh my God, this tastes terrible.
Was he just Googling or something?
No, he had already had it. He had it for something. He's like, take this.
It worked for him.
So whatever. But I'm like, just give me all the drugs. I don't care. All the weird crunchy stuff. I don't care.
I just want to know because I want all the things. If it's like a good trick that works, I want to know.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's hurting. Apparently, it's really good for, like, I was telling somebody at Starbucks this morning that I ran into him and she's like, oh, yeah, I take that each night because it, like, clears up all the mold and fungus in your system. I'm like, so who cares?
Whatever. Oh, huh. Interesting.
Like, someone could be like, pour petroleum oil down your throat and that will make you feel better. And I'll be like, sure. Just where's the funnel? You know,
this girl wants to go to Mexico.
I'm getting on that plane tomorrow.
Okay.
And then this brought me to a thought that I had. And granted, I don't have like a full-time job or whatever, but I think it should be for everyone that we should have a set number of scheduled sick days. And it's like, I get it that you can't plan for sickness, right? Or really they're just vacation days. But no, I feel like you should schedule time when you're healthy to pretend like you're sick. Okay, are you following me? Because it's like when you're sick, you feel like shit. And okay, you have sick days, but like, can I just take a day and pretend like I'm sick and everybody treat me like I'm sick, but I really feel fine. But I lay around all day and it's not vacation because vacation, you're going places, you're probably doing things. I want a day where this is my sick day. This is when I pretend like I'm sick. I'm not really sick, but I want everyone else to pretend like I'm sick, cater to me, wait on me, all the things. Thoughts?
Okay, and this is going to be sanctioned by your employer?
No, it doesn't even matter. Employer's fine. I'm more worried about the family.
Okay,
to get on board with this.
Okay, so you want family sick days?
Yes. Like, I'm going to pretend like I'm sick, even though I feel fine, but I'm going to lay around all day and have you guys wait on me, make me food, soup, whatever I need.
Yeah.
Blanket, whatever.
Well, and honestly, I think with each child that you have, that should come with like four. I mean, really, it should come with like 2 weeks a year. But if we're being realistic in this hypothetical, I think each child that you have, you should get five of those. And let's call them like mom reset, recharge days a year. So if you have two kids, then you get 10 mom recharge days a year. Three kids, you get 15. And then we're helping to kind of like incentivize people to have more kids because you get more mom recharge days and then the world won't end because people stop having kids.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell you something. There is no amount of mom recoup days that could get me to have another kid. Just putting that out there. But no, I think we're on to something here. I think we can continue to workshop this, but I just got to thinking about that.
I think you're right because
that might be something beneficial for everyone.
And like you said, when we were texting, like I was sick, but like I also was just like beat down. And I think momming and like carrying the weight of everybody in your household's problems and trying to figure out all their problems and do all their, you know, sign their folder, do this. Are they behaving? Are they not behaving? What's going on with them? What's going on with your brain? How is this friendship? How is that friendship? Like all that. And then the husband and then everything, right? We talk about it all the time. All the stuff, carrying the weight of all of that just beats you down. So that's why I think we need these mom recharge days to kind of get back up to speed. And the mom recharge days, the family takes care of the mom. And if they don't want to, they can outsource it. I don't really care. But yes, we need some mom recharge
Somebody's
days.
Taking care of us.
Yes.
Okay, I like it. I think we're on to something here, Jules.
I do too. Because they need they need us.
They do. Okay, let's do a little sports scorching brought to us by. And first of all, I'm so fog brain right now. And if you're listening or watching, you won't be able to see it. Thank goodness. But I've done the Gateway Read flawlessly for like the last five years. It took me five takes today because my brain is mush.
That's
so
okay.
Anyway,
That's the only thing you have to say from memory for this entire show. So you're
bless.
Good. You're good.
Sports is brought to us by our friends at Ty Lock George. I care.
Yes, you. If you wear glasses, you're probably tired of it. Well, you should look into some custom lens replacement from Ty Lock George. I care. It's one of many life-changing options from the trusted ophthalmology experts over at Ty Lock George. You can see your world clearly from long distance and up close. Get rid of those readers like Emily did. Get rid of your distance glasses. That's what I had. Prescription sunglasses. That's what I had. We've gotten rid of all of those. There are a lot of glasses and sunglasses in the trash, thanks to Ty Lock George Eye Care. They do offer 24 months interest-free financing with approved credit. If you have any questions at all about this, just make an appointment to get that free consultation scheduled. Go to tylock.com/TMG. We do have a special link. We'd love it if you'd go visit it, tylock.com/TMG, or just give them a call. Say that you heard about them on The Mom Game and that you want to discuss LASIK. You want to discuss getting rid of your readers. And if you've already had LASIK, don't worry. There are some options for you as well if you're still having vision problems. Mention The Mom Game for that special discount. And a big thank you to our friends over at Ty Lock George Eye Care.
Okay, Julie, the Cowboys have a new head coach.
Yay.
I don't know.
So a couple thoughts. So we figured they would be getting to hiring a head coach eventually, and they did over the weekend. They hired Brian Schottenheimer, who was their offensive coordinator the last couple of seasons. He's a, quote, career assistant. Jerry Jones had a really weird quote about, like, he's always been an assistant. Well, not anymore. He's the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Assistant no more. Jerry Jones gibberish. The whole thing is quite anticlimactic. I mean, he's already been here. He was here when the team wasn't doing too great, frankly, offensively. I'm sure, you know, there's been some good offensive moments. There's been some good stretches of play. But to make this guy your head coach is when there's a lot of more qualified available. And I say more qualified, and that's, you know, debatable. But there were a lot of people, and I think a lot of people are frustrated with this hire for a lot of reasons. One of those being that it doesn't seem like the Cowboys really vetted out all of the available options to them. They didn't even interview a lot of the guys who were really good, qualified options to be their head coach that I think fans and perhaps the players would have appreciated and liked more than this. This is a visor guy. I got to put it out there. He's a big visor guy. And every picture I've seen of him, he's rocking the visor and it's like a little awkward with the hair.
Okay. So what does that mean? What is big visor guy? What does that entail?
Always wearing a visor. Like,
okay. Is there like a stereotype that goes along with big visor guy?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. I need to know about this. I got some friends that are visor guys.
It's more like a stereotype in my brain though. So I don't know.
We all need to know what's in your brain, Julie.
Explain it. So I didn't. I have had a long.
Is it kind of bro-y?
It's bro-y, and it's almost like maybe trying to be cool. And it's, I don't know many guys that can actually pull off a visor very well. I really don't.
So Mike has worn visors.
I've never looked at a guy in a visor and been like, oh yeah, that's
he's hot. So I did date a guy who wore visors a lot, but he had like a real big, thick, full head of hair. Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel like he pulled off the visor pretty well. Like with Mike, he's high and tight all the time. And, you know, because he doesn't let his hair grow out. And he's got, what's it called? Widow's peak. Like he's receding hairline. Like it's not terrible, but it's not.
Yeah. We're at that point
coming all the way to the front.
Yeah.
And so when he wears it, it's like, if you're outside, you're going to get sunburned in these two little spots where your skin's exposed. And if you can't have full coverage up there when the visor's on, I think you shouldn't be able to wear it. Bald guys should never wear visors.
No, that's very strange to me. It's very strange to me. And I think part of the problem is that no one really knows with men and the varying degree of man hair and the fact that most men don't even know really what to do with their hair properly. And then you throw on a visor. I think the problem is the hair visor combination oftentimes to me just doesn't work. It doesn't look right. And I feel like with Brian Schottenheimer, it's the hair visor combination that's not working for me. So maybe this will be like on The Bachelor, you know, when somebody gets chosen, they get a makeover. And like the team ABC goes and they dip into their resources and they're like, if this is going to succeed, we got to get her skinny and tan and we got to give her veneers and have her a stylist. Like maybe we can do that for head coaches and we can have like a head coach makeover, because I don't want to judge him just based on the visor. But it could also be the
fact also that you're saying he needs a makeover.
No, I just came, just like you had your idea about mom sick days. I think I need a head coach makeover day.
Just
like
in general, I think it'd be fun. Yeah.
Just because they get a lot of screen time, right?
And you're kind of like, the league. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like let's revamp these outfit choices. And
yeah. Like give everybody a little glow up, because they're going to get a lot of sideline time. They're going to be the face of the team, the franchise.
Okay.
This is the person that players are going to look up to. They need to look up to them in every aspect, including like fashion. So. But if you're someone like Andy Reid, who's about to go for a three-peat at the Super Bowl, then maybe you're fine. Because plus, I don't know where we begin.
Seriously.
So maybe we transition there to talking
Okay. My one point about Brian Schottenheimer, though, is my whole thing is Jerry makes these hires that aren't the, you know, the hot names, the trendy names, whatever, because he is waiting for one of these to hit. And then he can say, see, I know what I'm doing. I found this guy. No one else was talking about Brian Schottenheimer as a head coach, but I knew that Brian Schottenheimer would be awesome. And he's going that way. He can keep that in his back pocket, that if he ever does put it all together, he wins the Super Bowl, even goes to the NFC Championship game, he can say, I found that guy. I saw it in him. I knew he would be a good head coach.
Yeah, and that aligns with what we were talking about on last week's show, which is like Jerry was going to go rogue and do whatever he wants to do. And that's basically 100%. What he did, because there were probably all kind of experts giving him experts' opinions on other guys, and he didn't want to hear any of that.
And he got to see two of his NFC West foes in NFC West.
NFC East.
East. His two NFC division rivals in the NFC Championship game. The Eagles and the Commanders. Eagles were dominant, 55-23. Washington turned the ball over too much, and they just got outclassed, honestly. Philadelphia's good.
Yeah, Philadelphia looked really good yesterday. And it's just, I mean, mostly because of Saquon Barkley.
Dude.
Who's just insane right now.
And he's so fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun. And you know what? Like, Kelly and I were talking about this a little bit, because I was kind of like, how did this happen again? Like with Saquon being there, like, you know, and remember, everyone has just been poo-pooing running backs and like their importance to a team for a while now and not paying them and all of that. So I kind of like this for all of running backs across America, for the kids that want to be a running back, for, you know, running back coaches, for college players. It's like running backs can change a game. Damn it. They are important. And if they're good, then they're worth paying, because look at the difference when you have a guy like Saquon Barkley, like what he can do for his team. So I think it's fun. It's a fun player to watch, and we like that dynamic player. That's what keeps the fans engaged. That's what gets the kids excited. That's what keeps fantasy football numbers going and all of that. And all this to say, like, it feels weird. I don't feel like I even hate the Eagles as much as I should anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's just apathy within the Cowboys fan base. I'm with you. Now, I was rooting for the Commanders because of Cliff. And I think even if Cliff wasn't on that staff, I would always just go with the Commanders over the Eagles, because I think just in my warped mind, I'm like, well, they've had more success lately. So I'm done with them having success, which is a weird, twisted way to think. But that's how my mind works. But yeah, it's not like I'm super angry. But yeah, they'll be playing the Chiefs, going for three in a row. Patrick Mahomes, just, it's like, not even just him, but that whole team, they just, especially this season, they just, whatever is necessary, they'll get it done. And it's just hard to go against them. It was a great game. That Buffalo team is legit. And you feel for Josh Allen. I love watching him play. There was, you know, some chances there that they had that they didn't, you know, convert on. And they're always tight when those two teams play, and you know, the mutual respect is there. And it's, you know, they're going to slay the dragon at some point. But right now, these Chiefs teams, and it's basically, you know, and they got it done with defense this year. But Patrick Mahomes is, there's something magic about him. I mean, it's just, and it's like, I think I've made this analogy before when I was covering, you know, Big 12 football for Fox Sports Southwest, and Texas was going on that ridiculous run with Vince Young. And the way that he just, like, the second he stepped on the field, it's like you had everybody, he lifted everybody up. They all had this confidence because Vince Young was leading your team. I've said it about Bruce Bochy, like Jonah Heim said it when he first got there. It's like when he comes in the room, it just gets lighter. Like, you know, this guy's in charge and he's got it. And I think that's the way Pat Mahomes is. It's just, there's something so magical about him and his leadership style, you know, coupled with the success that he's had. And he's such a fun player to watch. And those Chiefs teams are fun to watch. And it's not like they've had the same cast of characters. They've plugged guys in and out and they've continued to do it. And that's a testament to Andy Reid. Man, what a dude. It's just, they're a fun team to watch. And I know people are tired of them and they're over it and the Taylor thing and whatever. But I'm like, I root for the Chiefs because, and I have since Pat Mahomes was drafted there. So anyway, that's the setting.
Yeah. And I agree. And I think when you take all those like intangibles, like you're talking about with Mahomes that make him so great, and then you just pair it with like so much experience in the situation late in the season, in the playoffs, when you need to win, you got to get a first down to go to the Super Bowl. It's like, he's done it so many times at this point that he's not rattled by it. Not that Josh Allen is. Gosh, and I just felt for him too. You know,
I know.
Just like you feel for him. And I was watching the end of the game with Ryder last night, and it was funny because Ryder's he's a pretty big Chiefs fan, you know, and he follows very closely all of the NFL. And last night, as he's watching them celebrate, he was like, "I don't like the Chiefs, Mom." I was like, "What?" I was like, "I thought you did." I was like, "Are you getting tired of this?" And he was like, "Yeah, I'm just getting tired of it." Because he was looking at Josh Allen being sad and all the Chiefs fans celebrating again. I was like, "Wow, that's interesting." Because like all the kids are wearing Chiefs jerseys, you know, like Patrick Mahomes. There's more Chiefs jerseys at our school than any other jersey. I'm like, are the kids even going to start getting tired of it? But I told Ryder last night, I said, "You know what, Ryder? Just know they were terrible for a very long time. And I mean really bad." And I remember because I was at school at Mizzou and I was around Chiefs fans all the time. And it was just a running joke. Like, so my, you know, their parents were obsessed with them, but their parents, it was just, everyone was still rooting hard for them, but they were terrible for so long. And this is three, if they get there, you know, well, it's three Super Bowls in a row. We'll see if they pull off three Super Bowl wins in a row, but it's their time right now. And I'm not tired of it yet. I'm not exhausted by it yet. I thought that was an interesting thing for him to say, but I feel like they're good people. They're like you said, Andy Reid like is the constant. Patrick Mahomes is the constant, and I don't know. They're fun to watch, and yeah, I like watching Taylor. I did not know they were gonna have another on-field kiss session, or I wouldn't have gone upstairs to put Anna to bed.
Oh my gosh,
I missed it. I
can't believe you missed it.
I came back down and I was like, oh no. So I was trying to catch up and everything, because really the Super Bowl session, where they were hugging and kissing, is like one of the best memories I have from 2024 for me, watching that.
Okay.
I missed it last night. So now we need them to do that again at the Super Bowl.
Okay. So you're for sure. I think it's easy going for the Chiefs, for me at least. It's a no-brainer.
Well, I don't know. We were just talking about how good Philadelphia looked yesterday. And they, I mean, they're coming into this game like so hot, coming off of what, scoring 55 points,
yeah.
You know, and the Chiefs are never a high-scoring team, it seems like. They usually are just barely skating by, whether it's a last-minute touchdown or last-minute field goal or whatever it is. And it's going to be a huge test for the Chiefs' defense going up against Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley and the Eagles, who are rolling right now. So it'll be really interesting. I think I will pick the Chiefs, yes, because I do want another Super Bowl hug kiss sesh, because that's,
you want to watch Taylor life and Travis make
it
out.
It's giving me life. It's my fairy tale love story that I like to follow while I'm sick and parenting, and you know,
I love it. Okay, well, let's get to a little bit of what's on your feed, brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media. Just had a meeting with our entire Mom Game crew team last Friday at my house here in Fort Worth. And our new producer, Jasmine, who we'll introduce you to at some point. But right now, she looks like a homeless person, according to her. And Adam Hernandez, who, of course, is the man of the Mom Game. And Audrey Dollins was here. So we were getting our plans ready for 2025, excited to get things going with ADM. As you've noticed, we have been using them for the last several months because that's why our social media looks so good and organized. That is not all of our doing. In fact, it's very little of our doing. It's so much of the ADM team getting us in line and making our stuff look good. So they do influencer management, brand management, monetization management, collaboration management, influencer campaigns, content creation and photography, social media management, and even website design. She's going to do a little sprucing up to our website here pretty soon as well. So anyway, super thankful to Audrey Dollins Media. They are audreydollinsmedia.com. Let me look just reach out to us if you want to get in touch with them. audreydollins.com.
Yeah.
Anyway, follow them on socials. They're fantastic. We love working with them. So Jason or Jasmine, whatever, you know, whichever one she wants to be.
Jason.
See this? I know. What's wrong with me? Jasmine sent us this thing, and I actually did hear about it, about the Eagles. So when it was the snow game, in the divisional round.
Yeah.
They're selling snow. They bottled up the snow and they're selling it for like, I think it's like $100 or something. I don't know. I mean, it's like insane.
$50 for a pint.
Insulated
containers with dry ice and detailed care instructions. And it sold out. This is insane. The Eagles fans are crazy. So it was snow that was collected from the end zone after last week's playoff game against the Rams over at Lincoln Financial Field. I mean, at least it's just $50 a pint. But still.
But what are you going to do with this?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess the same thing, though. I mean, the Rangers did that at the old ballpark where they bought their, I have a little, like a spice jar, and it has like the last from the last at Globe Life Field.
Yeah.
So I guess it's similar, but it's ice, like, and it could melt. Like, at least the dirt from the infield is not going to just like dissolve.
And I guess that's what they're using, dry ice to keep it from melting.
Dry ice scares me.
Oh my God. It hurts. Accidentally touched
dry
them the other
is
day.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
I could not be trusted with dry ice.
No.
Like, no.
Me either.
I mean, I can barely remember to put on pot holders when I take shit out of the oven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Dry ice is not for me.
No, me either. Well, I think that's crazy, but it's Eagles fans, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, and somebody's bound to, don't you think? Somebody's going to hurt themselves on the dry ice, and then there's going to be a lawsuit or something.
Right. Yeah, probably so.
I'm calling it.
Well, and then you're going to be like, well, you're the idiot that's buying snow for $50.
Exactly.
How do we do this? How do we say that, like, we got a bunch of it and we're selling it on our own off the black market?
I don't really produce a whole lot of things.
Interesting quote.
It's kind of the state of where I am right now. Don't really produce a whole lot of things. I don't even really know what your question was. Like, sell our urine?
I wanted to get in on it. I'm just trying to make some money, man.
We could sell our urine.
Whoa.
Well, I mean, people sell their breast milk. But I guess you don't really need urine for sustenance. Yeah, we should probably just move on, I would think. Yeah, that's a very good idea.
Do you think never mind.
What?
Breast milk? We couldn't do that. We can't do
you
that.
You can't do it anymore.
I know, I know. But like, say that we had our original boobs.
Yeah.
Could you make?
You have to have a baby, Julie, right?
Not the only way. Like,
I think we just produce breast milk on command. Like, hey guys, let's get going again. Like,
don't you think the doctors could get it out?
No. I guess we still have the glands that produce it, but we got to stimulate them in some way. I don't know. This is weird. But I will say, I was a factory.
Stimulate. What?
Oh, I produced so much milk, it was insanity.
Really?
Oh, because like with each of my kids, I fed them with I fed them for 3 additional months with the milk that I had stored. So like I breastfed Henry for 9 months and then, or no, for a year, but 9 of which was actual on the boob. And then the other 3 were from my frozen stash. And Hattie, I did 6 months. And then I had 3, I guess probably 2-ish. I breastfed her for almost 9 months, but the last 2 were all frozen.
So from you're putting your breast milk in the bottle?
I was doing it in those bags. I had a whole, as you can imagine. With my,
you had a whole system.
A whole system down.
Yeah.
Got it marked and labeled. And then I told you about my trick about the toppers.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I'd put on there like topper. So you just put a little dash after you had a couple glasses of wine.
You don't produce much. You produce a lot.
Yeah, right. I did. Yeah. My production days are over. Mm-hmm. Unless you're talking about bathroom stuff.
Okay.
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 I'm sorry to offend you.
I'm going to move on.
Okay. Let's move on.
That's disgusting.
News desk. I don't want to put you figure out what we're talking about in the news desk because I haven't even looked. I'm sure it's very newsy.
News desk.
It is brought to us by our friends at One Day Doors and Closets and Qualis Roofing.
Yes. Let's talk about One Day Doors and Closets. I'm excited because they are going to be visiting my house later this week, and I'm going to show them about 117 doors that are old and see what we can do about them. They can replace your interior doors in just one day. No messy construction or anything like that. It's super easy. They use advanced 3D measuring technology to make a digital blueprint of your existing frames, and they custom cut those doors to fit those frames. As you can tell, that is a super easy process. It's not a big whole debacle that's going to invade your house and invade your time and tell, you're not going to have to tell your kids they can't come home, blah, 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 blah. The doors are factory painted with an advanced coating paint, and they're installed in just one day, fully finished. And when you work with One Day Doors and Closets, they typically save 30 to 50% of money compared to big box stores or handymen. And you might not think about the doors in your house and the need to replace them, but if you do change your doors, it upgrades the look of every room in your house. It's pretty much like hanging a new piece of beautiful art in each of your rooms because you're going to have beautiful doors. And those things are very noticeable. People will notice. Your friends will notice when you're hosting those Mahjong parties. They're going to say, I love your doors. Where did you get them? And you're going to say One Day Doors and Closets. The phone number is 940-969-4790. This is the best part. Go to onedaytexas.com/promo30. And that is the link that you use to get buy one, get one free on doors. Make sure you do it. onedaytexas.com/promo30. Let us know when you do. I'm excited too. I'm going to share my adventure on the social media as well, so you can see what getting a new door or multiple doors in your house can do for you.
Yeah, and we are improving all around the home in January as Qualis Roofing and Construction is on board with the Mom Game. They are your trusted roofing contractors, offering the highest quality roofing and construction services. Like so many of our businesses, small business founded by 3 friends and business partner, they really want to change the game in the roofing industry. It does get a bad rap sometimes. So these guys really trying to do things the right way, bring a level of customer service and community to the residents of Dallas-Fort Worth. And like I said, that roofers oftentimes get a bad rap, and these guys are doing things the right way, looking to build relationships, which is why they decided to come on board here with us at the Mom Game. 7 decades of combined industry experience, and they are offering a number of services, roofing services, roof replacement and installation, roof repair, storm restoration services, and roof maintenance. You need to get your roof looked at least twice a year. Just have them out, see what they can do for you. We're working on a little partnership with them where if you have them out to your house to get an inspection, you'll get a freebie from Qualis and from us. And then if you end up getting a new roof, something really special, we're tossing around some ideas on Friday. I think we've got something really cool in mind that if you get a new roof from Qualis, then you'll be invited to a pretty cool Mom Game outing. So anyway, check out the guys over at Qualis Roofing. Super good dudes. Take advantage of their services today. Call 817-500-9008. That's 817-500-9008 for service in the DFW area. Please mention the Mom Game or you can fill out their online web form to schedule your free estimate. Their website is qualisgc.com. That's QUALISGC.com. Thanks to Qualis.
Okay, a little bit of news desk. Anything pique your interest?
Well,
very newsy. I feel like there was some big news happened and I forgot about it.
Big news happened.
Maybe I'm just getting confused with some show I'm watching called The Diplomat.
Oh, maybe so. Well, I had a few things. I don't think we want to talk about president stuff anymore today.
Oh, no. But, is there still president news?
Well, yeah, like the whole immigration stuff is big right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh gosh. That was the big news. And the end of like equal opportunity employment and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I don't know enough about.
Well,
to know,
and there's
to talk
protests
about
and ICE and deportations, and people are worried about being deported when they go to work, and all that is happening right now, which is something that the Trump administration basically promised that they would do. And they're doing it. So I know that's just, it's causing a lot of anxiousness, I think, among a lot of Americans.
I think probably we are not of sound mind and body to discuss such an important issue.
No, but that is what is happening. So there was my recap.
That is. Okay.
In addition, we didn't really talk about the TikTok thing. But with TikTok leaving and then coming back, apparently now any phone, and is this a myth? Like, I don't know anyone that's actually done this, but apparently you can sell your phone that has TikTok downloaded onto it for like thousands of dollars. If anybody has actually done this, let us know. Because if I can make $50,000 from selling my old phone, because you know how they do phone like leases now at the phone store, like when you go get a phone, they're like, do you want to lease it or whatever? I still have my last one. I leased it, but I didn't send it back, not really on purpose, but I think they finally just gave up on it. So I like have one that I'm not even using that I think has TikTok on it. So I'm TikTok phone on eBay, apparently $50,000, Jasmine says. So,
okay, that's what they're listed at. Are people actually paying that?
That's crazy. I guess if you get like that, those crazy
Creon, $5,000, $19,000. I mean, that's insanity.
It's insanity.
$100,000.
So, okay, so this is going to be my new goal. I'm not going to do any other work because I can make a lot more money by just trying to sell my phone on TikTok. So, we'll see y'all later.
That's insanity.
Yeah, it's absolute insanity. So I don't know. I'm shocked. Although I guess if this plays back into like how addicted people are to TikTok and their phones, and they'll
For
put whatever
real.
Money they
well,
need
and
to
you
into
also
it.
Too have to think about like, but I would assume people who are making like a gajillion dollars on TikTok, you know, creations, they wouldn't be dumb enough to have deleted the app, right? Like surely they're like, let me at least wait this out a couple of days. Cause I was thinking like, well, if people are making a ton of money and now they can't because they can't get the app back on their phone. But then it's like, what an idiot if you only gave it like 24 hours to see if it was going to come back. So people be cray.
People be totally cray. This we know. So we might as well capitalize on their cray.
That's true.
I guess.
Yeah. We can sell our phones with the TikTok app and some jarred urine and foot pics and see
what
we do.
Yeah. The other thing I was reading about, and I feel like this is true. First of all, is January ever going to end? This is the longest month ever.
It is.
And
it always is.
I feel like between like the snow days and the long ass break, and now everybody's getting hit with the quad virus, like literally everybody. It's like, I feel like we're living in the Hunger Games and it's hitting in January, and I need this month to end.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
Well, there's something apparently called winter insomnia, too. And it's a real thing where you don't sleep as well in the winter. I don't know if your sleeping has been affected.
So, okay. So last night I took my early birds before I went to bed because I was like, okay, let's go. 8:30, pop those early birds. I'm like out by 9. So I sleep great. But then I wake up like at 1 something to go to the bathroom. And then by then, the early birds kind of have lost their luster. They'll stay in your system forever. And so I debated popping another round of early birds. But then I was like, I've never really done
on a really back to back. So I decided not to do that. And I mean, Lord, I mean, can you imagine, it's foggy enough as it is? But so yeah, I didn't sleep well sickness wise. And then I don't know if there's insomnia in January period, but
yeah,
sleeping is a biatch if you don't get it right.
It's such a biatch.
And especially if, like, because Mike's been sick a little bit, or was like last week. And like when he's sick, he snores a little bit. And it's like, oh,
same.
My God.
Same. Oh, that's, yeah, that's annoying.
And if he starts snoring, like, because he doesn't snore all the time, but it's like if you're not asleep when the snoring starts, it's so hard to go to sleep.
Oh, because that's all you think about.
It's in your crawl. No, I sometimes will just put my AirPods in and put a show on.
Okay. I recently started using it. I don't even have a sound machine. I just play on my phone. It's like 10 consecutive
white
hours
noise.
But yeah, this one's like brown noise. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it really helps. So whenever my mind starts to go to all of the one zillion places, I just think about the noise. I'm like, just think about the noise. And I just hear this noise and then I go to sleep. Now, it has forced Kelly to move upstairs, but that's just something that you have to deal with. I got to get my sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep is so very important. That's one of my recommendations. But yeah, winter insomnia.
Kicking your husband out of bed and getting a sound machine.
Yes.
Yes.
And when he's like, Julie, I can't sleep with that noise. I wanted to be like, you've been snoring this whole time we've been married and I can't sleep with that. So I have one little noise that I need. I joke. I told him he's like living upstairs in his dorm room. I call it his dorm room. I'm like, are you going to start putting like Playboy pictures up on the wall? Like,
stop it.
Michael Jordan posters.
Pro marriage tips from Julie. I like it.
Yeah. Like, go have fun in your dorm.
Okay. We got to get moving because we do have a special guest coming up in just a hot second. But first, we need to talk about some TMG happenings brought to us by Community McKen Nicole.
Yes. And I don't know. This weather is insane, as we know. And I think it's super important that you have a person on standby or a few people on standby that you can call or text if you're having any sort of problems with your HVAC system, whether it is heating or cooling your house. And that's where our friends at Community Mechanical do come into play. And stay tuned, because like Emily teased, we will have a really cool incentive for anybody that buys a new unit, a heating and cooling unit from Community Mechanical, and says that you heard about it on The Mom Game. But give them a call, give them a text right now if you're having any sort of issues. And by the way, I love that you can text them. It's 469-667-7290. Or you can go to communitydfw.com. They will work with you on preventative maintenance. They will set that calendar timer for your air filter that you always forget. They will come out and do it for you. They'll repair or replace your system. You can call, text, fill out that online form, and just have one of their technicians come out. And then they'll also work on design and build with you. If you're building a new home or remodeling your home, just reach out to them and they will help you figure out how to, you know, space out your air ducts and do all of that. They have somebody on staff that can do all of that. So they are very versatile over at Community Mechanical. And most importantly, they're going to keep you warm or they're going to keep you cool in the summer. 469-667-7290. Just shoot them a text. Be like, hey, I'm listening to The Mom Game. Can you guys send a tech out here to come check out my system? And they will hook it up.
Awesome. And in our TMG happenings this week, it is, of course, the North Texas Food Bank Empty Bowls event, presented by Kroger. It is February 27th. Julie and I will be there. It will feature expanded chef stations with bowl-friendly dishes from some of your favorite restaurants. Brian Lushker is the featured chef, known for popular menus at Taverna Rosa, Union Bear, and others. There will be food trucks, a digital cookbook featuring the recipes you get to try at the event, and then also you get to take home your own little handcrafted artisan bowl. One-of-a-kind piece of pottery. It's meant to serve as a reminder that not all of our neighbors have access to nutritious food with which to fill their bowl. So such a fantastic event. It's the 25th anniversary. Come expecting some exciting surprises. There will be a silent auction, all kinds of cool goodies for you to bid on and win. And over the years, $2.7 million has been raised by the North Texas Food Bank, thanks to those of you who support this event. There is a special link for us, ntfb.org/EB10. That's ntfb.org/EB10. Come hang out with Julie and I February 27th at
the North Texas Food Bank, and the Empty Bowls. And
yes, it's going to be fun. Food, drink.
It'll be fun.
And everything goes back to a wonderful cause. So what's not to love?
Okay. And Julie, I had a chance to, you were out when we taped this interview, but Dr. Michael, I can't, this Lord knows I will not be able to pronounce the name. Dr. Michael, and I butcher his name in the interview too. Julie, look it up. Julie, look it up.
I was already trying to because I knew this was going to happen.
You knew I was going to butcher it. But yeah, I had a chance to talk with him and it was a really cool interview about a lot of things we are facing as parents and a lot of the things that our kiddos are facing as kiddos. And I am so excited to have a conversation with our next guest, Dr. Michael Malobsky. Did I get it? How did I do? Yes. Okay. I mean, probably far from perfect, but close enough.
Good enough. Yes.
From the Your Kids Will Be Fine podcast, also an ambassador for True Height Vitamins and Supplements for Kids. And, you know, in listening to your podcast and hearing stories and reading things about True Height and about you and kind of your message, it's such a fascinating topic because I feel like it's become more and more relevant with the age of social media and just as time has gone on. So I guess, first of all, Dr. Malobsky, what was the motivation for starting this podcast, wanting to get into this space?
So I've been a pediatrician now for 25 years, and I've also been a parent for 27 years. We have 7 children, now 3 grandchildren. So I started my medical journey to being a physician, a pediatrician, around the same time I started my journey as being a parent. And as a parent yourselves, I know you guys know that parenting has changed dramatically. And I see it every day in my practice, how parenting has evolved and changed. And the challenges are very unique and different to this time and place with raising children than they were when I started raising children. Because I have a big family, you know, we had kids born in the 90s, kids born in the 2000s, and kids born in the 2010s. So I've been really fascinated and interested in how we can support families and how we can help families navigate the specific challenges to parenting in the information age, which is really what we are. And the biggest challenge that I've seen is the amount of anxiety and uncertainty that parents, I believe, are inundated with and saddled with because of this sort of parenting in the public sphere and social media and information overload. And that was the impetus behind starting the podcast. One of my big influences in this, I don't know if you've been exposed to any of your work, is Emily Oster. She wrote Crib Sheets. She's a data scientist. You know, she articulates a lot of the things that I have always have thought and hung on to for a long time about how we don't really understand how as parents to understand risk, to understand, you know, choices that we can make that are based on personal preference that don't really have a statistically significant difference in our kids' health or well-being. But because we're inundated with things that make us feel unworthy, not doing it right, less than all the time, it makes these choices so much more loaded and anxiety provoking. And that's the biggest thing I see when I'm talking to families face to face in the office.
And don't you feel like too, no matter what their age, I mean, I see it with my dogs. They can sense your energy and your mood. And these kids can sense our anxiety with it. So it's not just helping them cope with it. It's 100%. Helping us cope with it too, isn't it?
100%. And it's helping us show up. Like you mentioned, it helps us show up as better parents because we're not so wrought with uncertainty, anxiety. Our kids pick up on our energy. That's why birth order has a lot to do with how you come out as a person. No child gets the same set of parents. So even though every child is a unique and different sort of genetic blend, there also is the fact that each child is living with 2 completely different people than the last child.
And I think that's so funny that you say that because I say it all the time with my kids. I'm like, they're raised in the same house by the same people. How are they so different?
You're not the same people. That's my point. You know, we are not the same person with people with kids 7 that we were with kid 1.
Yeah, and first of all, bless you for 7 children. I feel like that alone makes you a parenting expert if you've survived with 7 kids and made it this far.
At least I'm well aware of all the mistakes that we made. Yeah, I'm an expert in mistakes. That's for
so
sure.
What advice would you give? I mean, obviously we don't have time to delve into specific situations and all that, those different kind of things, but what kind of tools do you want parents to be armed with? And what do you think are the most important thing, as you mentioned, in a day and age where we are so inundated with information, a lot of which is conflicting. So how do you kind of dumb that down for us?
So I think that we have to acknowledge and embrace the fact that social media and information overload is here to stay. It's a reality we're all going to live with. So I think understanding that and just being aware and accepting that that everything isn't weighted the same in your heart and how you do things, and developing a community that you trust that gives you the sense, the resources and the empowerment and the information in the way that resonates with you. Because as you know, Emily, right, there's no right way to go about parenting. There's no one path. And that's the point, is that there isn't any one path. I think from a big picture standpoint, concepts that helped me along my parenting journey that I like to share at both, from the professional and personal standpoint. It's a fallacy to think that you can engineer your children. Your children, and for people who are interested in this topic, I highly recommend Russell Berkeley, who is a PhD, Stanford child psychology specialist, who really talks about this in a much better way. But it's a fallacy to think that we can engineer our children. Your children are born with 400 psychological traits that will emerge as they develop and age that have nothing to do with what you do or don't do. It is just who they are. What you do have control over is the nurturing and the environment and the safety and how you show up and how you and love and affection. That's what you control. He talks about the analogy of engineers versus shepherds. Shepherds are powerful people. They pick the pasture that the sheep graze in. They pick the protection and they provide the nurturing and they provide the warmth and love and support. But they don't turn sheep into something that aren't sheep. And so I think embracing that we're not engineering our kids, we're just giving them, planting in a field and providing structure and doing all the things that allow those traits to show up in the healthiest possible way, I think is a concept that if parents dialed into more, so much stress and anxiety and uncertainty and things would really dial down. I think you would enjoy your parenting journey more.
And also too, with the advent of, this changing of times and all that kind of stuff, is the advancement in, medicine, supplements, different things like that. How much of that can assist in that, even though that there are those 400 characteristics that you said are going to, release themselves regardless, where do things like, the true height, supplements and stuff like that for kids, where do those come into play?
So I'll use my relationship with True Height as an example. Part of my practice, professional life, is that I have a very high proportion of medically complex special need kids that are in my practice. That's because before I started my practice, I was a pediatric hospital emergency specialist for 15 years. And then I started a private practice. So I attract a lot of kids who have spent long stretches in the neonatal ICU, or who are medically or developmentally complex and were hospitalized for a long time at birth. And then when they come out, they need someone who has experience with those kinds of complex issues. So for when we talk about True Height, and not just True Height, the social media sphere is chock full with things that are telling you your kids need X, Y, and that you need to give them this to make them this and make them that. The vast majority of that is not true. If your kids are healthy and thriving, and they don't have sensory, developmental, cognitive, other issues that prevent them from engaging in healthy, normal habits and routines, most of that stuff doesn't really add anything. But where something like True Height comes in, and the reason why I got involved in it, is because I have so many kids who are unfortunately challenged with neurocognitive deficits, who have sensory problems, who have broad developmental delays because of their medical complexities. And they struggle with the ability to develop normal, healthy habits and routines around nutrition and sleep and other things because of that. And then I was not happy. I was always looking for cleaner and better alternatives than what most of the parents were finding or what was being given or recommended to them. That had lots of highly processed, lots of sugar, lots of things that I would rather is healthier to not have. And so that's how I got involved with a company like True Height, for instance, and how I recommend to my parents in very specific ways to meet very specific needs and challenges. That's how I recommend these kinds of things, True Height and other things like that, to help those particular situations. But I think that the issue is, I think that parents who have perfectly healthy, normal kids, or kids who just have the normal, typical childhood, vagaries of pickiness or normal behavior, sometimes are being, I think, overly coached or overly inundated with things that you have to do this, you have to do this, and your kid's not going to thrive and not going to be healthy if you don't also give them all these things. And for a lot of situations, that's just not true.
Yeah, and I think it's like you said, that it's the vastness of the information that's out there and trying to decipher all of that, especially when it comes to things like that. And so I'm glad to hear you say that. I did want to touch a little bit more on the podcast, and I love the name of it. Yep. Like your kids will be fine.
Because I say it every day that I came up with the title just reflects what I end up actually, what comes out of my mouth 70 times a day to parents who are unfortunately way overwrought and anxious about everything that they don't need to be. So I always say, look, your kids will be fine. And that's how.
Yeah. And I think too, because we feel the pressures, right? Because it's almost like when you have kids that it's not even, your priority shift. And it's, for me being so focused on my career, and then I had kids, and then it all shifts. And then that becomes how you identify as, I'm Henry and Hattie's mom. And then, so it's not even really about what I'm doing anymore, but it's like, what are my kids doing and what kind of grades were they making and how are they doing in sports and all that different kind of stuff. And I think we underestimate how much our kids feel that. Even, because I go out of my way to I praise, grades, and I try not to, to put emphasis on things that I don't feel are important. I try to praise, when you do a good act of kindness or you do something, respectful, or I don't know, but they, even if you're making that concerted effort, it's like subliminally, I feel like even when we try so hard, we sometimes just can't help ourselves.
It's a very good point. I wanted to ask you a follow-up question on that, Emily. As someone who professionally works in media and works in broadcasting and disseminating information and raising kids, do you sometimes feel the weight of judgment of other parents on the choices you make as a parent? And do you feel that sometimes impacts how you view parenting?
100%. And I think if anybody answered that question with a no, they're lying. Yeah,
exactly. And I think that even people unintentionally, even people whose careers are not as yours is, involved in actual reaching an audience and engaging with an audience, there is this sense of, I'm being judged and I'm being looked at, and I have to make sure that I'm lining up with what, the consensus is on the, even if it may not align with what you may feel or what your experience is. And I want parents to trust themselves more. I also, and in your experience of raising kids, the other difference, I think, between a generation ago and now is that a lot of us are raising kids far away from our family of origin and the connections and the people that helped raise us. And people, I think, are raising kids much more on an island. So they rely, the online and social media world becomes their lifeline and community that replaces what we used to have, which were our parents and grandparents who were all closely linked to us and nearby. And I think that impacts the way we think and choices that we make as well. Do you feel that that's true?
Yeah, I do. And I think, it's just it's the evolution of things, right? I mean, it's the way that the world is moving. And, the further, like you said, that we get away from that traditional, aspect of things that we had a generation ago. But I guess a follow-up question to that would be, how do you stay grounded in that and not let this alternate universe of social media become that this kind of make-believe world?
It's a great question. I think I've seen parents do a great job in our community of developing that communal aspect amongst themselves. You know, I live in South Denver. My practice is in a town called Castle Rock, Colorado. I see families, you know, in their neighborhood, in their streets, that they kind of come together and make those communal experiences themselves, even if they're not related necessarily. I think that that's something that parents should look more into. I mean, if you're part of a religious community, a church community, and a Jewish community like we are, that happens a little more organically because everyone's bind together. But there's something really healthy, and that there's something I think really positive about doing that.
Yeah, it's such
to replace the virtual world that seeps absolutely. In all the time.
Okay, one more question before we go, and I think it's, like I said, just so many fascinating angles to what you're doing, especially with the podcast. If you know. Seven kids and, you know, a pediatrician and the things that you've experienced and dealt with. And now at this point in your life, can you give us, like, you know, one or two things that you feel like I learned this and by living it, by experiencing it. And I think it would be so valuable to other parents.
Yeah.
And I think you made a good point earlier about, you know, parents granting themselves grace, like not just your kids are going to be fine, but you're going to be fine too.
100%. And, you know, we were very young when we started parenting, and obviously I look back at my parenting journey, and I'll give you two points. One, I've become really good at apologizing to my children.
It's such a liberating thing. I remember one time, not sorry to interrupt you, but it's such a great point, because I remember one time, I think Henry, my oldest, was like 7 or 8, and I like lost my shit on him. And I'm like, how embarrassing. I'm a grown woman. So like I went and got him from school early because I dropped him off pissed off. And I went and got him from school early. And, you know, it's a very humbling experience to apologize to an 8-year-old that you birthed. But I was like, hey, mom was out of line. Like, that was not okay. And it made me feel so good. And I think it made him look at me differently, and also made him know that, hey, mom messes up too. And when mom messes up, she's got to apologize. But yes, sorry to interrupt, but that it's so valuable. And I think
your experience there is exactly what my point is that when our parents raised us, I don't know, my parents were kind of like late baby boomer age. There was no acknowledgement of emotional realities. There was no acknowledgement of vulnerabilities or humility. It was compliance. And your success as a parent was measured on your ability to exact compliance and nothing more. And that is not the world our children live in. It is not the world they're going to be faced with. The superpower that our children need to develop, which they can develop, is emotional regulation and emotional awareness. We see how that lack of those damages our adult lives and relationships and everything later on. And took me a long time to recognize that as a parent. Did not do a good job for the first several children. Thank God they're better. Thank God they overcame me. My wife much more tuned in than I was for a very long time. But when you're able to acknowledge that openly, and when your children witness their parent modeling vulnerability and humility and articulating those things in front of them, imagine how powerful that is for them to be able to feel empowered and comfortable to do the same things. So that has been, I think, of all the things that I have sort of picked up on and improved in my personal and what I tell people professionally is that. And two, the ability to acknowledge that and grow and change and recognize I'm not the same person, parent, father that I was when I started, but I'm getting, but I want to do better, and I'm showing up every day, and I'm trying. And as long as you do that, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. And like you mentioned, the grace to accept and acknowledge our mistakes and know that we can overcome them by being present and being able to verbalize these things and not shy away from them like our parents did, because this was off limits to our parents to be able to express these kinds of things to their children. That was only weakness. And it's just not
true. The whole, you know, it's my way or the highway, or, you know, being willing and open to listen to your kids' input and to take the time to do that and to value that. I mean, ultimately you're the parent and you're calling the shots, but to make them feel like a part of the conversation.
And I think that that, you know, there's so much talk. I know that you see it. How much talk do we both run into on optimal parenting styles and what generates the best outcome? You know, there are certain parenting styles, like most of the baby was engaged in that for sure, are maybe not optimal now. But more than a parenting style is a bigger approach that transcends a particular style, is these things that we're talking about and showing up, you know, kindness, yet a sense of firmness and structure with kindness and self-awareness, empathy, and humility. And I think those things, from a much, you know, treetop perspective, I think transcend any particular like authoritative versus authoritarian versus permissive versus gentle. Listen, I think people will parent along the lines and what resonates with them. And as long as it's all under the, you know, with the same basic sort of concepts that we talk about, your kids will be fine. Yeah.
That's a great way to end it. Your kids will be fine. And so will we. Dr. Malofsky, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank
we so appreciate it. Yeah,
pleasure.
Super insightful. And tell us where we can find.
The podcast, Your Kids Will Be Fine, is on any platform where you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify. There's also the website, yourkidswillbefine.com, where you can download all the episodes and leave comments and suggestions. You can follow me on Instagram at Peds at the Meadows, which is my practice, or Dr. Michael Malofsky. I'm also on TikTok at Dr. Mike M. So all those places, you can see the videos and the content I put out that are all along these lines. This is the type of thing.
So hip
about.
With the social media. I'm impressed. Well, we appreciate your time very much. We end every show by throwing up it's cheesy as it is. We throw up the peace signs and we say mom game out. So we're going to do it on the count of three.
Okay, all together.
One, two, three. Mom game out.
Mom game out.